talked about just about everything else, but not so much about your store itself. First of all, let's just review, when did your father move the store to its present location?
1918.
And we've talked about that its stock has remained reasonably constant with some changes over a long period of time. And when was the brick store put up?
1936.
On the very same place?
Yeah.
What did they do, just shut down for a few weeks?
Built a small wooden store back of it. The lot was big enough so he could build a small one back of that store, move the goods in, and operate there while the brick building was being built.
So in contrast to the old store, this lot was bigger than the dimensions of the store itself.
Oh, yes.
Your father learned a lesson that way.
That's right. That's the reason I heard about the lot being the size of the building, because someone else had a similar experience and was telling him about it, and then he told us, well, that's not the first time that's happened right now.
I suppose one of the most famous landmarks around Clemson in Calhoun is Judge Keller's store. Certainly Tillman Hall is another, but there have been any number of prints about Judge Keller's store, and my mother, in fact, has one on her den wall.
Yeah.
Very attractive one. It's part of a series. Well, obviously it's Keller's store, because that's the family name.
Yeah.
How does it get called to be Judge Keller's?
Well, that's what the students called my father. And they called him that because one of the commandants said when some of the students wasn't satisfied with the way the uniforms fit, and the commandant thought they fit and the student didn't, he said, well, we'll let Keller judge whether it fits or not. So the students called him Judge Keller.
Did it ever work the other way, where the student thought it fit and the commandant didn't?
I don't imagine that ever happened.
Or so they didn't dare say it in those. We'll come back to that a little bit later. You were born, you said, in 1912.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
How old were you when you first started working in the store with your father?
I don't know.
A young boy?
Well, I didn't work on a regular basis at all.
But after school or on
weekends?
Yeah,
something like that. Yeah, that's right. And, of course, as a little kid, I started selling when they started having football games and baseball games here at the college, why a group of little kids would get peanuts and candy and chewing gum and take up and sell at the games. Didn't have concession stands then. And a group of boys, some a little older than me, and so I went with them and I started selling peanuts and candy and things like that. And then at one time, us kids would go up to the barracks and sell pies. There was a bakery in Anderson called Aunt Mary's Bakery. And they baked pies, apple pie and lemon pie and cherry pie, little 10-cent pies. And the father would
individual serving sizes.
Yeah, uh-huh.
Something like a fried pie?
Well, except it was circular, just about the size.
But not fried.
No, it was baked. That's like sure enough, it was. They were good. And I think it sold them 10 cents. And us boys would take those up in a basket apiece, and some of the students going between classes would buy those.
Could you actually go into the barracks?
No, wasn't supposed to go into barracks, but we could stand outside the barracks. But to do that, we had to have a permit from the commandant.
Could
each
you
one of us had to go in there and get a permit to do that.
And how long would that permit last?
Oh, I think it lasted for a whole year.
The academic year.
Yeah, probably. I think that's what I remember.
What about the football games? Was there admission to the games, or could you just get in free?
I don't know. I think it was free at first. Now that was pretty early, though, when they didn't have anything but temporary bleachers on the sides, you know.
So probably no real way to control admission.
That's
if
right.
They wanted.
Yeah.
When did you first start working full-time with your father in the store? I'm not sure you've told us your father's name. Give that to us.
Oh, it was Isaac Lennon Keller.
So your name for your father?
No, my
your son is.
My son is. Yeah, that's right. When he was born, I asked Lila what name she wanted him to have. And I wanted him named for Pop. And I said, what part of the name? Their full name. So we named him the same. And the Isaac part of that name is the reason he was here. He got the Isaac from his uncle, who had no children, but had a bigger farm and more money than my father's father. And so Uncle Ike said he would pay my father's way to come to Clemson, called his name for him.
And when did you first start working full-time with your father?
I don't guess I ever did. When I finished Clemson, I guess I did work full-time helping him, though he didn't need me. After I finished Clemson in 33, no jobs were available. And I did help until January 34. Mm-hmm. Then I got a job at the college. Got a grant to make soil, test all the soil in the state. And the college hired all the recent graduates in chemistry to analyze, test the soil in their soil lab. And they hired all the agriculture graduates to collect soil all over the state. So they, and that was, I got a job then. So I did help on the Saturdays and when I wasn't, but I was working all the time.
And
then I worked there till the 1st of July, and I got a regular job with the experiment station. In the chemistry department of the experiment station.
Working here at Clemson?
Yeah, at Clemson. Worked on in the experiment station until the war started. And then when I came back in 46, my father said he was ready to turn the stove to me if I wanted it. So.
He'd only had it 50 years.
That's right, yeah. Yeah.
Your father then must have been about 65 when he was ready to pass the store on to you. Did he really turn it over to you, or did he stay on and tell you how to run it soon?
Well, he really turned it over to me, and he and my mother went back to Apple. They were going to go back to his old home down there. And he stayed down there about a month, and then he came back, and he said, I believe you need me to help you in the store. And so I did, and he helped me in the store till he died.
When was that?
He died in 54.
So he was with his store not quite, but nearly 60 years.
Uh-huh.
So not only is the building a long-time Clemson tradition,
yeah.
But so is the Keller name and
yeah.
Your father.
Yeah, that's right.
Well, it looks like you haven't quite measured up. You were at the store about 30 years.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, that's right. that's right. Well, I worked, did other work longer. See, my father started in his store as 20 something years old, and I worked 8 years as a chemist, and then 4 or 5 years in the army, and so I had about 12 years doing something else.
Well, let's talk a little bit about the store building. It's slightly more than 50 years old.
Mm-hmm.
It's a brick store
yeah.
on the north side of it is painted on a fair-sized black background, Judge Keller's store, mm-hmm. so everybody sees it mm-hmm. for some distance.
Yeah.
What does it look like inside? First, the ceilings, what are they like?
Metal. It's a has metal ceiling.
Stamped metal pattern.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That was very popular at that time for stores.
What kind of floors do you have?
They have wooden floors. It's pine, what they call ripsaw pine floors.
You still have the original wood
still
floors there.
Still have the wood floor. Uh-huh, yeah.
No modern congoleum.
No congoleum, no rugs.
What about display counters, sales counters?
Well, we built those when the store was built in 1936 and bought those showcases in 1936. My father and mother and I went up to Statesboro, North Carolina, at a showcase factory up there at that time. And father picked out the showcase he wanted, and they sent them down. And the carpenter that built the store built those tables that we still use.
So most everything in terms of the decor of the store is just like it was when it was put up.
Yeah, that's right.
Just so we'll know, do you remember the name of the carpenter?
Yeah, Mr. Brown. From Pendleton. Yeah, he was a real good carpenter, worked for the college. And this was in 1936, and the college encouraged their carpenters and so forth to get extra job in the summer if they could, because the college usually ran short of money before July, before they started the new. So he got off long enough to build a store.
You may not want to answer this question, mm-hmm. but when I was in the store, I don't remember seeing a safe. Do you have one?
No, don't have a safe. No. Don't have a cash register. Cash register salesmen have come in and used to wonder how in the world I could run a store without a cash register. But if you don't take in much money, it's no problem at all.
Just a little small bag will do it.
Well, yeah, we have a drawer that I was in the old store. Still use it. It'll hold all the money we take in. Because when we get much money, we take it over to the bank.
Do you sell anything on credit?
No, don't sell anything on credit. We take those credit cards, Visa and MasterCard.
When did you start doing that? Do you remember?
My son started that.
You didn't?
No.
Did your father ever sell anything on credit?
Yes, a little bit. Yeah, a little bit. We'd keep books. People would charge. Some people would charge things. Come pay later.
One of the popular things in this part of the country was cash stores, which generally were a bit cheaper. Because the merchants seemed to have so much trouble collecting from
yeah,
people.
Well, especially grocery stores, yeah. People would buy groceries and eat them up, you know. You couldn't get them back.
Maybe a uniform you could go back and take possession.
Yeah.
Well, between you and your father, especially, and now your son, the three generations of you have known just about all the Clemson students who passed through here.
Well, a lot of them, yeah. It's difficult to go anywhere without seeing somebody that we know or they know us.
Do you have any particularly fond memories or striking memories of the period while you were working at the store?
No. Uh-huh.
When did you retire?
In 77.
And where did I find you this morning?
In the store.
So you didn't do a good job of getting all the way away, did you? Certainly carrying on the tradition there. Let's talk a little bit, if you will, about your years at Clemson. Judging from what you said about your work in the 30s, you got your degree in agriculture.
Chemistry. In chemistry. Yeah.
Professor Robertson, one of the chemistry instructors?
No, he was the chief chemist of the fertilizer department.
But not an instructor?
No, so far as I know, he wasn't instructing anyone I was there. I don't know whether he ever had or not, but he See, the fertilizer analysis was a big department here at first. That was where Clemson got a lot of their money. The state had a tax on fertilizer. Every ton of fertilizer was taxed a certain amount, and that money was earmarked for Clemson. And Clemson had to analyze the fertilizer and be sure that the fertilizer companies put as much nitrogen and phosphorus and potash in there as they said they did. So every bag of fertilizer had to be sampled, not each bag, but each a bag out of each lot that came in the state. And Clemson did that here.
Do you know if there is ever a state tax on seed?
I don't know. Clemson does have a certified seed department or something. I don't know whether there was or not.
I know that stores that sold seed were required to have a license from the state.
Oh, yeah. Well, now, we did that, too, when we sold. So we used to sell grass seed and flower seed and garden seed, too. And, yeah, that was so... The state would send a man around and see that the seed you sold was fresh. They would look at the date, and you, when it was 9 months old, you had to quit selling it. It had to be tested within 9 months.
Was seed being sold in little packaged envelopes then, or was it just sort of loose in a box?
When we sold it, it was in packages.
So your store used to have seed as well.
Seed, yeah,
In fact, you used to be more of a hardware store, too, than you are now.
Yeah, that's
you?
Right. Yeah, well, you see, they got two good hardware stores here now, so they don't need us to have any hardware.
At one time,
they didn't have any hardware store.
When did Clemson get its first hardware store?
After the Second World War. I don't remember just when Dobson put up a hardware store here. Now, there's Old Norm Hardware and Dockside Hardware.
You're going back to your days at the college, since you graduated in 1933,
yeah.
I gather you were with my father in the
yeah.
same graduating
yeah.
class.
Yeah.
What was it like in terms of the military atmosphere of the school from the time
well,
you first got here?
Well, it was military. When you got here, you put the uniform on, wore it all the time. If you didn't want to wear the uniform, well, you were supposed to go to Furman, PC, Erskine, or somewhere. You had nobody coming here if you didn't want to wear the uniform. And drill three times a week. We had to drill Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, and go to chapel Tuesday and Thursday.
How long did drill and chapel last?
An hour. Each one lasted an hour.
So very regimented.
Oh, yeah.
Did you have to wear the uniforms in the barracks? Or could you be more casual there?
Yeah, be casual there. Yeah. But when you went outside, you spoke to have a uniform on.
What about getting up and going to bedtimes? Were those regimented?
Now, I was what they called a day cadet. I lived at home. But now your father was in the barracks. And they had reveille, and they had, I guess they still had, at the time he was there, I think it's still, they had taps at night. Lights had to be out at a certain time. They had to be in the rooms, I believe, at 7:30, and they were supposed to study then until 11, and our lights went out. They were supposed to all go to sleep then, so they can get up in the morning reveille and go to breakfast. They had to go march to breakfast, march to meal.
When they were in the barracks, where did they have their meals? Was there one common mess hall for the entire?
Yeah, downstairs under their main barracks, number one barracks, where it was a big long mess hall. Everybody'd eat down there.
Who was in charge of the mess hall?
Oh, well, at the time, your father was and me were there, it was Captain Hawker. Captain Hawker. Before him was Shorty Shaletta.
Was Harcum really a captain, or was that sort of like clink scales?
I don't know. I don't know whether he was a captain in the First World War or not. He might have been. He might have been a mess sergeant. I don't know. But I think he'd had some military training in the mess department. Whether he was a captain or a mess sergeant, I don't know. He was a great big man. About all I remember about him. I remember seeing him several times.
I don't know if you know, but my tables working his way through college.
Yes, a lot of
the
boys did.
Mess hall, and then he was a mess sergeant as a result of that in the first part of World War II. Other than not living in the barracks and obviously not being marched to meals and having reveille and taps, but otherwise you still had to wear the uniform.
Oh yeah, had to wear the uniform, and drill.
Were there many day students like yourself?
Well, there was enough for a whole company by the time I was a senior, when I was a freshman, sophomore, and junior. While they put us individually in different companies. But when I was a senior, they had enough, and they formed a day cadet company.
What happened when you left the house to go to the campus? Did you then have to report to a company place, or did you just go straight
just
to your classroom?
Class. Yeah, didn't have to report.
Did you eat on campus or go back home?
No, I went back home. Yeah.
That was only, what, about 5 minutes away?
That's right. Yeah, that's
so
right.
Easy enough.
Yeah, easy enough. Had a whole hour for dinner.
Any other types of military discipline you had to follow as a cadet?
I don't think so.
Could the fellows go away for weekends if they wanted?
They had to have a permit. You could get a permit from the commandant's office to be away. But you couldn't just go when you wanted to and come back when you wanted to.
Was it automatically issued, or did you have to have additional approval from parents or other people?
Tell you the truth, I don't know. I don't know, I think, but you couldn't miss any classes or anything like that, but you could miss those formations, you know, meal formations and so forth like that.
So people were not required to go to meals?
I don't think so. No, I don't think so.
Well, it sounds like if as a kid you were selling the pies there, they had plenty of other chances for food, too.
Oh, yeah. They had plenty of good food, but you know how people are. They always want something else.
Mm-hmm. Who was the commandant when you were there?
Commandant?
Commandant.
Commandant?
Yes.
Let's see, who was it now? Colonel Cole had already left. Oh, Colonel. I believe Colonel Munson, Colonel Munson was still the commandant for one or two years. Then after he left, they got a fellow there called John West. Whiskey John West.
How'd you get that nickname?
Well, Prohibition was still on, but they said he got whiskey. Mm-hmm. I don't know whether I saw that, but that's what they, and so the students called him Whiskey John.
It doesn't sound like the commandants would have been very popular men among the students.
No, but there never was any I remember that was really hated or anything like that. I did hear some of them talk that once they had one of the Army officers was pretty strict, and some of them thought unfair. What was his name? Lee. Call him Snake Lee. He'd slip around like a snake to catch him doing something. See, at one time it was against the regulation from the smoke, and some of them would slip off down toward where the football field is now, where there's a group of trees and smoke. And they said he'd slip around and try to catch them. But I don't remember any ever. No, Colonel Cole scared me when I was a kid, though. He had a son in my class in grammar school. And one rainy day, while he came fogging and asked me to ride home with him, and as we were going back, we got down there about the Presbyterian church, and he met a student driving a car. It was against the regulation for a cadet to drive a car. And he wheeled his car around and ran that boy down, and But they were strict on them. They wouldn't let students have cars or drive cars then.
Which I guess made clink scales all the more popular.
Yeah, that's right.
With all of these difficulties, how did the cadets ever manage to have dates and...
Oh, they'd have a lot of dances. I don't hear about them having dances now, but they used to have four or five big dances during the year. And they would have their dances in the mess hall. They would, and they'd decorate the mess hall. I have been up and seen it a few times. They'd have ribbon, forgotten the name of that particular kind of paper, crepe paper, streamers of crepe paper all over. Boy, they made some of them look fancy. It's been a lot of work on that. And they'd have big bands to come here and play.
I believe the YMCA used to sponsor social activities.
Yeah,
too.
That's right. That the YMCA used to be the center of all activity for the students.
Do you remember when there was first a movie house in the
area?
Yeah,
in the YMCA.
That was the first movie house.
Yeah, it was first in this whole area from Pendleton Central and all around. People would come there. That's the only one. As a little kid, I was in, we'd have scout meeting every Friday night, and after the scout meeting, we could go to the picture show. And oh boy, that was fun. I thoroughly enjoyed that.
And these were silent movies.
Oh yeah, a lady would play the piano there to have some music.
Do you remember how much you had to pay to go to the movies?
I think for kids it was either 10 or 15 cents, and adults were 25 cents.
When did the area finally get a regular movie house? Was it at the same location as the one in the 50s, or now a store?
I think that was it. I don't think they got one until after the Second World War, I don't believe. And it's where Ibrahim bought the building.
So for 30 years, everybody going to movies had to go to the YMCA. Which made it all the more important.
Of course, no TV, and at first no radio. The only entertainment available.
Do you remember Holzendorf very well?
Oh, yeah, Mr. Holzer, he's a fine man. Yeah, I remember him well. He would... us little kids, they had a basketball court there, and us little kids would play basketball down there, and he'd come play with us sometimes. Boy, you had to watch out for Mr. Holder. He'd run you right in that brick wall.
I never had thought about it before, but it's ironic that two of the important people who were not officials at the top at Clemson, Holzendorf at the YMCA and Schletter, mm-hmm. both had Germanic names.
Yeah.
Do you remember Schletter?
Oh, yeah. He was a short man because his nickname was Shorty. Shorty Schletter. Yeah, he'd been in our store, in the old store, I guess. Yeah, he was a friend of my father's.
He seems to have been popular with
the students. Oh, yeah. Oh, he was very popular. Yeah. In fact, I think they say he died on the football field watching a football game. Yeah, he was very popular. Everybody liked Shorty Schletter. Yeah.
We've talked some about your schooling, and we've talked about your work. What about social activities?
I never been much of a social man myself. When we were growing up, in high school, we'd go to those dances and parties, and I was going with Lila, and Lila was working here then, and your mother, Anna, was working at the college. And so your father and Anna and Lila and me went on a picnic over here to Davis Mill one time. And
telling me things about my parents I didn't know. Wait just a minute and we'll change the tape.